Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
At the sounds of chanting in and around the Capitol building in Madison, Wisconsin. Hi, I'm Mike Pesky, for Brian Lehrer. Our favorite recent chant, reported by Twitter, so it comes with an asterisk. Jesse Jackson is reported to have led the crowd in yelling, "This is what democracy looks like. This is what Alaska feels like. The current temperature in Madison is 16 degrees. Well, it's 21 here, so, you know, we could sympathize. The battle over Governor Scott Walker's proposed bill that would restrict collective bargaining rights for state workers has put public employees in the spotlight. Other states also feel the budget cut crunch, and they're looking to the Badger State, as are members of private unions. It's being cast as a battle over union organizing in general, but there is an important distinction between public and private collective bargaining. Here now to discuss all this is Stephen Greenhouse, labor reporter for the New York Times and author of The Big Squeeze, Tough Times for the American Worker. Stephen, welcome back to WNYC.
Be here, Mike.
So this is what democracy looks like, they tell us, or what would a political or labor philosopher say is the more just outcome? If the general citizen of Wisconsin who voted for Walker for a reason got his way, which I guess would mean that collective bargaining would be taken away from the unions, or if these passionately held beliefs of teachers and other public employees were listened to. I mean, it's a classic tension between a few people who care so much and the general mass of people who have an interest but aren't going out to the state capitol.
It's very interesting here, Mike, because both sides are saying they're democratic and you know, small d democratic, and the other side's being undemocratic and dictatorial.
Yes.
Now, the governor says, Governor Walker, Republican, says, you know, he was elected, he got a majority of the votes, Republicans captured both houses of the legislature, and they say we have the right to largely eliminate collective bargaining rights. They say that's majority rule. The Democrats say, the union leaders say, wait, collective bargaining is a fundamental right. It's, you know, listed in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. They say, you know, a slight majority, as Republicans have, should not strip them of their rights. The Republicans say, well, the Democrat, you know, 14 Democratic state senators have left the state, gone to Rockford, Illinois, to prevent a quorum from being created in the state Senate to prevent any vote to enact Governor Walker's budget bill and the same bill that would limit collective bargaining rights. Republicans say the Democrats are being undemocratic by leaving town. So both sides are accusing the other of being undemocratic.
Right. And the question is, you know, what is democracy? Is it majority will? Is it entrenched rights? Now, let's pull back for a minute. Give us a national picture. What states do public employees have the, you don't have to list them all, but how frequent, how common an occurrence is for the public employees to collectively bargain? In which states do they have some modified version of it? In some states they can't collectively bargain at all. What's the picture?
Generally, okay. In 1935, Congress passed the National Labor Relations Act, which gave private sector workers the right to unionize and bargain collectively. That law did not cover public sector workers. Beginning in 1959, Wisconsin was the first state in the union to give its public sector workers the right to unionize and bargain collectively. And since then, generally, you know, 38 states allow their workers, their public sector workers, to bargain. In some states, all public sector workers are allowed to bargain. In some states, just some are allowed to bargain. You know, generally, no surprise, it's the more liberal states in the Northeast, in the West, in the Midwest that have done this, and generally states in the South and Southwest have not given public sector workers the right to unionize. Now, one reason things are exploding in Wisconsin and to a lesser degree in Ohio is these are traditionally heavily union states, and now they have Republican governors and Republican legislators that want to take away the right of public sector workers to bargain, and the unions here are just going nuts. They're so angry. They say, we've been doing this for 40, 50, 60 years. This is political payback by your Republicans. You saw that we, the unions, helped campaign hard for the Democrats last November. Now you want to weaken us, not just at the bargaining table, but in politics, because the unions say without unions helping the Democrats, the Republicans are going to have it very easy in each year's elections.
Right.
And the Republicans say, bull, it's not payback. We're just trying to help balance our budgets.
Right. So the Republicans would say it's not payback in terms of it's not vindictive and it's not just us trying to screw over the people that don't vote for us. But, you know, their political philosophy is not pro-union in general, and it's that unions have gotten the states into a very bad economic position. I mean, there's a lot of the countercharges and how dare yous, but there's a lot of truth that if the terms were changed, both sides would say, yeah, that's generally true.
You know, again, there's another big argument about what is the cause of the fiscal crises that so many states find themselves in. You know, a lot of Democrats, a lot of union people, a lot of economists say, you know, the real problem here is a lack of revenues coming in, you know, flowing into state coffers. And, you know, what has caused that lack of revenues? The Great Recession, which, you know, it hit many, you know, hit the incomes of many taxpayers. And they say, you know, Wall Street caused, you know, Wall Street excesses caused the recession, and you know that's hurt the states very much. And now the unions and Democrats say public employee unions are being blamed and targeted and demonized for these states' budget crises. The Republicans say, look, we have these large crises, large fiscal crises, these large deficits. They argue exorbitant public employee pensions, generous health coverage, and we just can't afford it anymore. Let's forget about what caused this. We have these problems. We have to reduce our costs to eliminate our deficits.
Well, when Scott Walker, the governor of Wisconsin, when the question was put to him, essentially, are you just union busting? He was asked whether we should, people should see his bill as an assault on all union organizing. He did make this distinction.
And if we were ultimately about attacking the unions, we'd be doing something to private unions. I don't have any interest in doing anything to private unions. I think the private unions are a key part to getting the state's economy going. I welcome working with them. This bill and our measure has nothing to do with private unions here in the state of Wisconsin.
So what's your analysis of that answer?
Right now, Governor Walker is not doing anything to move against private unions. However, in Ohio and many other states, Republicans are taking, you know, who are not enamored with unions, are taking actions to weaken private sector unions. They're pushing bills called right-to-work bills that would allow union members not to contribute anything in terms of union dues or contributing to their unions. And, again, right-to-work laws are common in southern and southwestern states where unions are weak and there's great anti-union sentiment, but such laws are very, very rare in the Northeast or the Midwest or the West.
Right.
And, so we see these Republicans in many states trying to pass this, and some people say that if Governor Walker gets his legislation through that would weaken public sector unions, it's inevitable that the Republicans will also take some steps to weaken private sector unions.
Yes, and the map of the states that are right to work looks very much like a U.S. presidential electoral map in terms of Northeast and the West Coast not being right to work, and 22 states that are right to work are, like you said, Southern and those Midwestern and Idaho and so forth. We're speaking with Stephen Greenhouse, a labor reporter for The New York Times, author of The Big Squeeze, Tough Times for the American Worker. We welcome your calls, 212-433-9692, 212-433-9692. Is Wisconsin in a much more dire situation than other states, or is it just this combination of a state like many others with a deficit crunch and a governor that really wants to do something about it in a bold way?
My colleagues, Michael Cooper and Kit Seeley, had a story the other day that pointed out that actually Wisconsin is in much better shape financially than most states. It faces a budget deficit of $3.6 billion over 2 years. That's a lot of money. It represents about 12% of the budget, but you have states like Nevada and Illinois where the budget deficits are nearly half the budget, half the overall budget. So also in Wisconsin, the pension plan, the public employees pension plan, is in great shape. It's almost 100% funded. Some people are saying that Governor Walker is not letting this budget crisis, however serious or not it is, he's not letting this crisis go to waste.
Right. And what about if, as, for instance, a local governor like Chris Christie, who has been voicing many of the same complaints that Governor Walker has, perhaps not adopting the same tactics, should he, let's say he gave you a call and said, off the record, you're an expert, give me some advice here, or make me smart, what should I learn from Wisconsin? What would you tell Governor Christie?
Okay, well, I'm a neutral newspaper reporter. I can't give advice. But I imagine Governor Christie, in his heart of hearts, would love to do what Governor Walker is seeking to do. I think Governor Christie would love to take away or greatly weaken collective bargaining rights for the public employee unions in New Jersey. Clearly, Governor Christie has launched an aggressive assault against wages and benefits for public sector unions there. But I think he's refrained from trying to strip public employee unions have collective bargaining rights because he knows that the Democrats control the state legislature and it would be a non-starter there.
My day job is I'm a sports reporter, and I know that it's not just by my reporting in general. If you added up the column inches on the NFL and NBA labor problems and compared them to general states labor problems, sports get a lot more attention. I don't know. In your opinion, is looking at what the NFL is doing with its labor negotiation, is it instructive or is it very much an apples and oranges situation with public employees?
It's funny, Mike. I've been covering labor for the Times for a while now. And I see that the labor stories that get by far the most attention are the ones involving sports teams, the baseball umpires, the baseball players. Now the NFL, possible luck. And what's happening with the NFL is fascinating. Fascinating. On one hand, the owners have had record profits, right?
Yep.
And they're doing very, very well. And not only are the owners asking the union to give back $1 billion in wages to the owners, but they're saying we also want to extend this season to 18 regular games from 16 regular games. And sometimes I think what's happening with the NFL is similar to what's happening in the overall American economy, where American corporations like NFL, like the NFL owners, are enjoying record profits. And even so, many American companies are like the NFL, pushing their employees very, very hard to accept wage increases, to accept concessions on health coverage or benefits. So the NFL is just doing, in many ways, what the rest of corporate America is doing. But the NFL players have one big advantage that the typical American worker doesn't have. They're extremely well-known. Many of them are quite beloved. And when they fight back against the NFL owners, I think they will have much more public support than will the typical workers. Now, some people are going to say, NFL players, they make, $500,000, $1 million a year. What are they complaining about? And the players say, they sacrifice their bodies. They're the ones who create the game, not the owners. They make it work. They're the ones who suffer serious brain damage, in playing. And they say that they deserve their fair share of the product and the wealth they create.
Today's informal, unofficial, thoroughly unscientific opinion poll is up on our politics website. It's a free country. It asks, Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker makes a distinction between going after public employee unions and private sector unions. Do you view them differently? The choices: I support all unions, public and private. I support public employee unions more. I support private sector unions more. I think both public and private unions are problems. The classic It's Complicated choice that's always given to you on It's a Free Country. Answer right now on the homepage, itsafreecountry.org. And let's hear from a union member. Saul from Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Go right ahead.
All right. What he's trying to do now, the taking of dues. It's very, very important that the unions have the right to go ahead and have the dues automatically deducted. It gives the union strength. That's number one. Now, in good times, generally, the government doesn't give a darn one way or the other. They come to collective bargaining. They have a set price that they're going to work with. So rather than give it to the workers in wages, what they end up doing is they just give them in benefits. Now the situation is really where he has the opportunity now. He's saying, well, the private sector people are suffering. The union has to suffer with them. The way when things were good, private sector didn't give a darn one way or the other. The unions basically took the benefits they got because they were able to get it in that manner. Now they're sitting pretty good, and there's nothing wrong with it. But this is a union-busting tactic. It's been used many, many times before. And as your guest remarks, the right to work laws all throughout the South. And this way, unions were never able to go ahead and make headway.
Right.
This is a problem. And generally, you find out that the people that were working, that are members of the union, their education is good, and so on.
Yes. That's, I think maybe you're talking about the classic comparison is let's compare the public sector workers to the private sector. But the public sector workers will say, well, you know, most of us, in the case of teachers, at least have master's degrees. So I don't know if there is an able comparison to be made. Let's take one more call. Sheldon from Forest Hills. And we are leaving a line open for someone who's on the governor's side. But Sheldon, you're a union member also?
I'm a union member also. And I presume that you are, as well as Steve is.
I am, yeah, AFTRA.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm really disappointed in the reaction and what I hear from you two guys. This issue is something that affects all members of all unions in the whole country, including you guys. And if we lose these rights in one state, it's going to be in all the states. And it's just like that classic saw, if they come from the communists, they're going to come for me next. And you guys should not be that glib and laissez-faire about this. This is a threat to all unions.
All right. Well,
be aware of that, guys, okay?
Yes, thank you for the call, Sheldon. And Steve, I'll say what I'm sure you're thinking, which is, you know, even though we're members of the unions, we have to separate ourselves out from that as we report on the issue. By the way, I don't know, do you, as part of your job, I'm sure to work at the Times, you have to give dues, but do you absent yourself from being a member of the Newspaper Guild?
No, I'm a member of the Newspaper Guild, and I've often been very critical of the union, and sometimes I've been very supportive. I don't think that colors my coverage at all. You know, let me say to Sheldon, you know, as a New York Times reporter, my job is not to support unions or to criticize unions. It's to, you know, write about what's happening out there in society, and I've written that, you know, I think it's, you know, everyone agrees, both Republicans, Democrats, liberals, and conservatives, that if this is enacted in Wisconsin, that will give more momentum to such bills in Ohio and Indiana. That's no secret. And you know, just I'm trying to write what's happening to workers and in society and with companies so, you know, people will know what's happening.
Yes, it's one of the reasons why Wisconsin's a national story. And I want to thank you, Stephen Greenhouse, New York Times labor and workplace correspondent and author of The Big Squeeze, Tough Times for the American Worker. Thanks a lot, Stephen.
Thanks very much, Mike.
We're back in a minute talking about China and how its economy is affecting ours. Stay tuned.